Hallelujah. To Him all glory and honor and power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you like to turn to the scripture of Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1? Thank you, Brother Mangan, for asking me to come. Thank you, Pentecostals of Alexandria, staying in a saint's home this few days. I get to see firsthand the dedication and the commitment to this meeting that grips every fiber and being of this church. And so from all of us, to all of you, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for this meeting. Amen. I sure would like to give glory to God here today, but I need your help. Will you help me? Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly, would you say suddenly, come into his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. My message is simply this. Suddenly. Suddenly. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity. God, we ask that you would help us to share what you have given to our heart, to speak beyond our ability, God. Hallelujah. To do what you have directed according to your will and purpose. And we'll give you all the honor and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen. You may be seated. Waiting. Longing, lingering, tarrying, yearning, hoping. Weeks, days, months, years, generations, centuries, millenniums, and still no Savior. Life never changed much. You were born, you live, you work, you die, you spend your life in the field, sleeping on the ground. The craft of shepherding had not changed much in 4,000 years. Then, suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Oh, the majestic power of God's suddenly. The infilling had been prophesied for centuries. Ezekiel said, "And I, by the Lord, I will give them one heart. I will, notice, not yet, I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh." Joel said, "And it shall come to pass afterward," not yet, afterward, "that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." John 7, Jesus said, "Come, drink the living water." Not yet. Acts chapter 1, "And ye shall receive power after." Not yet. "Go and tarry in Jerusalem until." Not yet. But then, at the crowning pinnacle of man's greatest anticipation and God's greatest preparation, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Suddenly. And suddenly started appearing everywhere. Saul of Tarsus, arch enemy of the way. And suddenly, there shined around him a light from heaven. Paul and Silas, persecuted, imprisoned. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. The majesty, the power, the glory of God's suddenly. I'm happy to report that we have suddenlies, and we've had a rash of suddenlies in Singapore and Southeast Asia. Matthew Chong, a young man of only about 20 years old, had a slow, painful fusing of his backbone called angliospondylitis. The suffering is unimaginable. And he suffered, and he suffered, and he suffered. But suddenly, one Sunday morning, prayer was made, and this man, who the doctors had documented that he would not get well, but God suddenly stepped into the picture, and he was instantly and totally healed by the power of God suddenly. The Hing family for 3 years hid a dark secret from the church. For more than 40 years, their father had been an opium addict. They never told, even me, no one in the church knew, because in the Chinese culture it was too shameful and it was too hopeless to even bother. But a medical crisis brought all of this into the open. And the beauty of things being brought in the open is now the people of God could pray. And suddenly, after 40 long years, God stepped into the equation. And in only 2.5 weeks, this father was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, completely delivered from a 40-year opium addict. Suddenly. Jakarta, capital city of the world's largest Muslim population, a stronghold, difficult place to pray people through to the Holy Ghost. But suddenly, humbled by riots and a currency crash, political and social unrest and upheaval, and suddenly, hundreds are receiving the Holy Ghost in Indonesia. In one service, I saw a Forbes magazine billionaire, a Chinese spirit medium who had practiced witchcraft for 32 years, and one of the city's leading drug pushers and drug dealers. So I saw these three, among many others, bow their knee, their face to the ground in repentance, and rise to their feet and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Suddenly, God is doing things in a majestic way that it's hard for us to comprehend. In Sabah, East Malaysia, Christianity came to Malaysia more than 250 years ago. But the Rungus tribe never let Christianity in. They never allowed a preacher to come and preach to them. Disease, poverty, false gods had decimated this primitive tribe until only 400 of their race now exist on the face of the earth. But suddenly, after 250 years, they invited an apostolic preacher to their island. And this year, more than 50 were suddenly filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God said, from every kindred, every tribe, every people, that He's going to have a church. But we've got to believe in God suddenly. China, hard to get a foothold in China beyond Hong Kong and the work that our valiant people have been doing in Canton. But suddenly, in the last 2 years, two apostolic ladies, one of them from Singapore, these two ladies have personally prayed through more than 400 mainland Chinese. And I tell you with authority that these 400 are praying hundreds more through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It has been validated that there are thousands, yea, thousands upon thousands, that are being baptized in Jesus' name in China. It's not hearsay. It's the real thing. Suddenly, for 5 years, we waited for the right time for our Filipino assistant to go full time. I counseled him to quit his job at Hewitt Packard and that the church would apply for him a visa. 3 months and 6 rejections later, we were 2 weeks from his deportation. Suddenly, God spoke and He said, apply a 7th time. And you won't have to do it again. Now, I had just listened to the tape of Brother Arnold preaching A Little Taste of Honey. And so I took his message and I improved on it a little bit. I can see how much you believe that. And I did have common sense enough. I changed the title and I called it The Power of Preemptive Praise. In other words, thanking God before it happens. So I got me a party hat. I had the hat, I had the horn, but I had more. I had a jingle. And so I got in front of our congregations and I had a tambourine. And I stood there, and I'm not a musician, you'll know that in just a second, or a singer. And I stood there, and in front of all of God's people, I sang a little jingle. Doji's been rejected 6 times, yes, it's true. But 7's the perfect number, this time it's going through. Wild. They were singing and dancing and shouting because God and the pastor had a word from the Lord. Now, you may see. Now that was on Sunday. The phone rings on Tuesday and Sister Sandra whispers across the telephone line, "I'm sorry, Brother Willoughby, but Doji's visa has been rejected the 7th time." In my calm, reassuring, man of God voice, I said, "Don't worry, Sister Sandra. God's in control. He will take care of us. Thank you for calling." And that was the first lie, or that was the last lie. I wasn't real thankful. But that's what you're supposed to say. And so I hung up the phone calmly and gently. And then, "Oh God, what are you trying to do to me?" Barb, my wife, comes in the office. She hears the commotion. She said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "Barbara, I've ruined Doji and Nancy's life. We leave for deputation in 10 days, and we got 600 Filipinos without a pastor, and it's all my fault." They don't have a clue what I'm talking about. I can see their little halos glowing, Brother Mangan. They've never had these experiences. But for all of us carnal, I'm sorry to reveal that missionaries are that way, but... I won't speak for all of the missionaries. Just... And so... I tell Barbara, I didn't know that when God said we wouldn't have to apply again, wouldn't have to do it again, it was because that Doji and Etsy were getting kicked out of the country. Remember what God said? Do it the seventh time, you won't have to do it again. I thought that meant they were staying. Now I'm a little confused whether it's... Part of the church is never going to listen to me. I'm a false prophet. And my wife said, she looked at me with a steely gaze, and she said, I've got one question for you, Steve Willoughby. What are you more concerned about, Doji and Nancy, or your reputation? Ooh, I hate it when that woman asks those kind of questions. She's supposed to be a helpmate. She's supposed to help me, not hurt me. So she left and I slid back to the floor and I said, well, God, since she brought up the subject, what about my reputation? And God said, what are you talking about? When I found you, you had no reputation. He said, I've got seven words for you, boy. Get up. Go teach your Bible study. I was scheduled to teach a Bible study that afternoon. I was thinking about calling in sick because I was sick of not knowing what was going on. So I went. It was a rather uneventful Bible study. The teacher seemed to be a little distracted. At the end of the lesson, I asked if there were any questions, and a little Chinese lady, Monica, speaks up, and she says, I don't have a question about the lesson, but I am having difficulty with my faith, and I was wondering if you could explain to me about faith. Honest. I thought, you poor lady of all the days. God elbows me and he says, be honest. Tell her that some days faith is a struggle and today was one of those days for you. Excuse me. I'm not real sure that's a good confession for the pastor to make in a Bible study. God says, do it. So I tell her. She asks why. And I tell her about Doji's seven rejections. By now I'm feeling silly and self-conscious, and I turn to talk to someone else in the Bible study. And out of the corner of my eye, I see Monica and James, her husband, whispering and talking. Now, I don't know what they're talking about, but I do know who they're talking about. James politely clears his throat, and I'm thinking, here it comes, oh God, here they're going to drop out of the Bible study. And in the midst of my supposing what they're going to say, he says, excuse me, Pastor, but I think I can help. Now, Orientals are polite. They can always help. And it don't always mean anything, does it, Brother Cole? Did you help me? And I'm thinking, help me. Now, there's a novel thought. You know, I'm thinking, James, you don't have no idea the magnitude of my problems. And besides that, have you forgotten who's helping who? I'm the one with the chart and the Bible study notes. Well, it had been a bad day, folks. But in my least condescending voice, I said, oh, and how might you help me? And he said, you know, with that Doji fella. Okay, go on. He said, I believe you know that I'm a major in the army. Mm-hmm. And it happens that my colonel, with whom I am very good friends, just quit the army to take up a new posting. And my good friend is now the comptroller of immigration. No. Really? He's got my attention now. Don't fool with me now. This isn't a time to be playing with my emotions. Yes, he says. And he's a Christian. And if you would like, I'll give him a call. I'm sure he'll be interested in your story and will want to help. If I'd like, I'll drive you. Now, folks, I ask you, is it a coincidence that out of 3.2 million people in Singapore that I just happened to teach a Bible study to the best friend of the comptroller of immigration? Is it luck that 2 weeks later, Doji's rejection was reversed? Is it accident? Honey, you can call the psychic hotline if you want. Consult the stars and the planets. But why go to the stars when you can have a relationship with the Creator and the Maker of the stars? If you'll trust Him, suddenly there's an answer. Suddenly you can see His plan. But there is a, you maybe see, there's a, here's where the message turns serious. And that was the easy part. And there's a secret to the suddenly. This is just small suddenlies. And God's got some big suddenlies in His mind. In Zechariah, says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all the languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. The potential of the scripture says that one of us, that we can win 10. They're believing that in Ethiopia, that every saint can win 10 people. We're saying if we can just win one. But God's got bigger suddenlies than that. But there can be no sudden Savior without a messenger. And there can be no messenger without a message. And the message of the messenger was simple. Repent. We want the heathen to repent, but repentance starts in the family, in God's covenant family. If God's covenant with Abraham was to be fulfilled, there would have to be a revival of confession in every successive generation. There would never be a Jericho or a Jerusalem without Jacob's hip being jerked out of joint. Before there could ever be revival in Corinth or Ephesus, there had to be revival in Jerusalem and in Judea. The Savior could not suddenly step into the temple without John the Baptist preaching repentance to God's covenant family. We are God's people, and judgment must begin in the house of God. I believe that we're all looking for a suddenly. Jacob needed a suddenly. He thought that his problem was Esau. But the issue wasn't external. It was internal. Because God asked him, what is your name? You're asking me my name. It was the last question that Jacob wanted to answer. Why? Because it revealed his character. I imagine him saying, my name's Jacob. Liar, cheat, con man, deceiver. There, are you happy? I said it. Hope it makes you happy. Now you know who and what I am. I believe God said, good. Now we're making progress. Why? Because there are some prerequisites to suddenly. There would be no suddenly. Number one, there would be no suddenly without soldiering. After 2 years in Singapore, good things had, were just starting to happen. And we got attacked and things, and that young group of Christians, things got really, really shaky. And God spoke to me in my desperation and said that if I'd meet Him for 40 sunrises and be there for prayer, that He'd help me through. The problem was I'd never seen 40 consecutive sunrises. Y'all didn't catch that because y'all are spiritual and get up, do all that stuff. And I could do it for one or two, but for 40? But I did. I was desperate. And God said He'd help. About 20 days into this 40, I'm returning from a magnificent, about 3-hour prayer time there with God. And I'm walking along, Brother Anthony, and I'm walking along back to my car from this park, this beautiful, beautiful park. And me and Jesus, it's almost literally like we're walking along. We're just good buddies. And I'm walking along arm in arm like this. And suddenly Jesus speaks to me and he says, Steve Willoughby, how would you like to just kick back and relax for a few days? No worries. No problems. It was so real that I spoke out loud in this busy park. I looked to heaven. I said, oh God, would be wonderful. And I'm waiting for this big, mighty hand of God to come down on my head and put a tremendous vacation blessing on me. Oh yes, Lord, I'm feeling that. And while I'm waiting for this majestic presence to put this blessing on me, God says, well, it ain't gonna happen. First, every time I let up on you, you get lazy and sloppy. Second, this I'm a lover, not a fighter attitude has got to go. You are neither. Most of the time, you're a chicken. Now, don't ask God His opinion if you don't want to know. He went on to say, son, this ain't the love boat. There are no battleships called the USS Vacation. Hallelujah. This is war. And you're a soldier. And soldiers fight. Nobody said that the front lines was fun, but that's where the work gets done. I promised revival. But do you really think that these Buddhist and Hindu and Muslim devils entrenched for 1,000 years are going to surrender to a sissy? Folks, God just asked me to remind you that fighting is a way of life. We've got to quit our whining and quit all of this poor mouthing and woe is me and why is this and why is that. You don't get this job done unless you're willing to be a soldier. Second thing that God was telling me about the prerequisites of suddenly is that you got to learn to be a servant, and which is actually the two are tied in. Servant leads to soul winning. Soul winner. How do you know if you're a servant? Somebody shared this one and said, how do you know if you're a servant? If you got a servant heart. Get treated like a servant and don't get irritated about it. I thought I knew that lesson, but then God sent me, if you really want to know your soul winning and your servant quotient, ask God to send you an aim worker like He did me, Jenny Miller. I preached one Sunday morning in Singapore at the hotel, and it must have been a pretty good message. Ten people came to the altar. Man, I thought, well, not bad. Not too bad. I mean, 10 Chinese is like getting 100 or some other kind of folks. And so I thought, well, I'll just go down there and I'll just polish this off by praying them through the Holy Ghost, you know. And so I went down there and I prayed for number one, and she was kind of carnal and didn't want it, and number two. And
And I started working my way down the line, and I got down to number 9, and none of them people wanted the Holy Ghost. And so I'm working on number 9, but by now I didn't think it was going to fly. But anyway, it's the thing you're supposed to do. I look down, and Jenny Miller is standing at number 4. And just about the time I looked, number 4 spoke and speaking in tongues, as were 3, 2, and 1. So I stepped back. I said, "Well, okay, just go ahead. You got the floor, honey. Go ahead." But while she was finishing the job, I said to God, I said, "God, I don't think you understand the hierarchy of things around here." Me, missionary. She, aimer. It'd be real kind of you if when they get the Holy Ghost, you'd let it happen when this hand gets on their head. And God said, "Are you interested in knowing why this is working out the way it is?" And stupid me, I glutton for punishment, I said, "Go ahead, why?" And God said, "You don't know me like she does." That started me on a quest to become a soul winner. And a missionary began kneeling at the feet of Sister Jenny Miller, who didn't have but about a 10th grade education. But she knew God in such an intimate way beyond what I did, that I found out that I could learn something by being servant to some other people, and that I could learn how to be a soul winner beyond anything that I'd ever dreamed or imagined. God wanted to take some of you to the school of learning, but you're not going to get it by those that are over you. Sometimes you're going to have to get it by those that are under you. Thirdly, there will be no suddenly without silence. Brother Merle Cornwell should be preaching the rest of this, because he can cut your arm off and make you smile while it's happening. Make you like it. There will be no suddenly without silence. Now, what do I mean? Okay, let me put it in Tennessee vernacular, just learning how to keep your mouth shut. My mom and dad never, hear me, never, not once in my entire life, criticized the pastor, the church, the district, or a saint in the church. I'm 43 years old and I've never heard it. I grew up wonderfully innocent and trusting. My parents led me to believe that every member was a certified saint and that every preacher was a hero. And then I got to know preachers. And I walked among you, and I'd say to you, "Wow, isn't brother so-and-so such a great man of God? He touched my life." But unlike my parents, you can't stand for me to be blissfully ignorant of ministerial humanity. You smile an uneasy smile. "Oh, I've been so guilty of this. Why do you think I would preach about it?" "Because God's been working me over." And we say, "Yes, but did you know?" I've got news for all of you fine folks. I've heard buts on the best of you. Now, you wouldn't for $1 million have a string of pearls, but we've got a string of butts a mile long, which are 1,000 times more ungodly. It's like the rosary. But. By the time you get through with your butts, I've got a dilemma. He who moments ago I thought was a powerful man of God, now I'm concerned if he's even saved. The work in Singapore is beyond me. And I've got to have help. So I developed a novel approach to getting speakers. Number one, I pray and sincerely ask God for spiritual partners. Can you imagine the simplicity of that? I have people ask me, how do you get all these big name people to come? And it's not just big name people, but I mean all these powerful people, I should say. And I've asked them, have you asked? No, I just know they're too busy to come. As your faith is. Number two, when God shows me who one of these partners are, and most of the time it's people I don't even know. I've never personally met, but I tell you what I do. I ambush them with vision. They're not interested in my needs, but they're interested in where I'm going and if I think they can help me get there. And so I've had Arcovio and Bustard, Brother Cole, the Dowdies, Denny, Flowers, Freeman, Haney, Hernandez, Hideball, Kilgore, Mallory, Stark, Stone King, Tamils, Trapani, Wolfram, and Wright. And I'm sorry if I forgot all the rest of you that came and I didn't write it down. But working together, we've had 2,284 receive the Holy Ghost in the last 5 years in Singapore. Together. Partnership. Taking what I learned from these men of God, I've taken the gospel outside of Singapore with 68 mission trips and teaching, training seminars. And of these 68 trips, about 15 were revival meetings that resulted in 3,600 receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That means that for the last 260 weeks that we have averaged 23 souls a week receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now I know that's not much to brag about, but you don't know where I came from. Timid, faithless, backward, until these men got a hold of my life. But now I walk into Manado, Sulawesi, Indonesia, armed with a promise that God had said that hundreds would receive the Holy Ghost. But riding from the airport, they show me what they said was the world's second largest Satan church. It was founded by Anton LaVey, the guy from in America. And it was called the Seat of Satan of Southeast Asia. And the people, they're telling me this. They had just found out that week that their pastor was on the Satan church's death list. Now, you may take that lightly, but I'm telling you, Indonesia is eat up through and through with witchcraft and sorcery and demonology. And so they said, whew. And you know what I said? I waited till I got in front of the whole congregation, and about 3,000 people, and I said, I hear that your pastor's on the hit list. I said, here's my opinion. Great! Hallelujah! Glory to God! They looked at me like I was brain damaged. I said, I shouted, because what pastor is worth his salt unless he's on the devil's hit list? I'd be more afraid if he wasn't on the hit list than if he is. And so we proceeded to have 284 people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Brother Cole, I was not scared, and I'll tell you why. Because I remembered Billy Cole with fire in his eyes saying, I'm not scared of the devil. He's scared of me. When they're showing me the Satan church, this is what I'm remembering. Because Brother Cole said, because I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Let me hear me. It took some flesh to make the Word of God become real to me. Now, I know you're just supposed to read it in the book and believe it. But I tell you, it's something different when you see those fiery eyes declare that the devil is no match for us. And that if we will believe and not operate under a spirit of fear, that we can do great exploits for Jesus Christ. Quit saying but this and but that. But none of this would happen if it had not been for these who made me what I am. None of them would have come to Singapore if I'd have listened to the advice of most, because somebody somewhere has disqualified every one of these ministries. I've got a request. We took prayer requests. Here's my request. Will you please shut up and quit telling me who hates who and why this ministry and that ministry is no good? Please. Would you please let me be led by the Spirit and allow the diversity of the body to minister to me and to mine? Please. I've got a suggestion. Next time we're in a repentance service and all we can think to do is polish our halo, could we please grab God by the neck and wrestle a bit with our attitudes and character and lack of brotherly love? If you're going to have suddenly, you're going to have to, we've got to learn to keep our mouth closed when it should be closed. And last, before suddenly, you're going to have to learn support. I'm talking about partnership and teamwork. There would be no suddenly in Singapore, and there would be no suddenly anywhere if it were not for two great men. Well, let me take that back. Anywhere. I got ahead of my. There would be no suddenly in Singapore if it was not two great men in my life. Number one is Brother Billy Cole, and recently, Brother Stone King. After making myself a servant and student to these men, instead of 10 receiving the Holy Ghost, has had been my pattern of my ministry, suddenly 50, then 100, then 300. And I wanted to tell you about their impact and influence on my life, and I thought that you would rejoice, but you didn't. Instead, I hear comments, well, I hear you had Stone Queen preach for you. Now there are dozens. I'm sorry, I may be too young, too inexperienced to be preaching this. But there are dozens that have the potential to lead an Ethiopia-type crusade. But you'll never do it without a team. And you'll never have a team if you're not careful, because you don't have a clue how to be a team member. Now, how do I know? Because when I became a member on Brother Billy Cole's team, you didn't call me a team member. You said, I hear you joined the Billy Cole bottom kissing squad. When I got invited to Because of the Times, you said, oh, so you got invited to Because of the Mangans. Now, Brother Cole, I apologize, Brother Stone King, and all the Mangans for saying this publicly. But this has got to stop if there is ever going to be a suddenly. It cannot exist among us. Brother Cole, please don't let some brainless loonies discourage you by criticizing your ministry. Stay with us. Love us. Continue to mentor us and teach us. There'll never be a day we don't need you. They don't know what they're talking about. I won't suddenly. I'm talking about partnership, teamwork, brotherly love, standing beside one another, doing together what we can't do alone. After years, I ask you, and I'm almost through, why did God beat the dirt out of Jacob in an all-night wrestling match? I'll tell you why. Because he loved Jacob too much to leave him the way he was. After years of lying, cheating, deceiving, and conning, Jacob came home dragging a throbbing, disjointed leg. It wasn't a pretty sight. You think he was pretty when he came home? You think he looked good when he came home? I'll tell you, Tuesday night, it occurred to me that it was not the will of God for me to go home looking pretty. But it was the will of God for me to go home changed. Suddenly, something has happened to me that's never happened before. Suddenly, God has stepped in like He never did it before. Come, Holy Ghost, work on me, move me, change me, mold me, make me. Several of these messages have been about getting us straight with God. You can remain standing. Now I wonder if God's asking us to get straight with our brother. God's told me that Singapore can impact 1 million lives. I'm from Findlay, Tennessee, population 900. Million does not compute in this 1 megabyte brain of mine. But here's what I want to say. I have spread my dreams under your feet. Tread softly because you tread upon my dreams. In Jesus' name.